Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Christ, we have reason to come. Good morning, church. It's good to see each one of you with us this morning. It's good to be in the house of God, and that really was a great time of worship. I thank Brother Caleb for his ministry, and we are blessed that God has sent him to us and given him that passion and heart to praise God. This morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Malachi. If you'd like to turn your Bibles over there, that's where we're going to begin. And before we do that, I would invite you to approach the Lord in prayer with me as we seek His blessing and favor over this time. Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you, Father, that you have created us and you have revealed your love to us, and we thank you that you have done it in Jesus Christ. And Lord, what a blessing it is to assemble for that reason, to worship you and to give thanksgiving for the greatest sacrifice of love in sending your one and only Son to die for our sins. Father, would you turn our eyes, would you move our hearts to that marvelous gift? And may we live altered lives and follow in His footsteps, Father, and receive that sacrifice and obey it. Father, we pray for this congregation. We're in the midst of a large city with many problems, and we cry out, Father, for strength and mercy and grace to be your church, to be your people. Help us, Father, as we reach out to the poor. Let us be your presence. And Father, give us strength as we continue to thrive and be your people in the midst of a challenging time. We ask your blessing over this service and over this time and in the preaching of your word. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. So we're going to be once more in the book of Malachi. If you'd like to turn over there. Malachi is it's a short book, but it is full of divine power, and I hope that it will encourage and stir you up to faith and good works this morning. Malachi's ministry is believed to take place after the restoration that was brought about through Nehemiah. A remnant has returned from captivity to rebuild Jerusalem. The temple worship has been restored, and the people have regained their place in the land. However, Malachi comes to confront a people who are quickly losing their interest in the things of God. He is sent to address a nation's backsliding. He outlines the Lord's grievances and calls a nation to repentance. The highlight of Malachi's ministry, however, is the foretelling of Christ's coming. He sees Christ as the ultimate solution for the sinfulness and the evils of his day. I want to first begin with the problems that Malachi addresses. If you look in the first chapter, beginning in verse 1. The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And isn't it interesting to consider that many times it is those who are most privileged and most blessed that have this ability to become spoiled? I think about children. Many times it is those who have been given the most that are prone to becoming spoiled. And in the spiritual realm, this is true. Israel, above all other nations, has been set apart to be the recipient of the Lord's unique favor. Malachi presents Israel as forgetting this entirely. Sometimes it's helpful to look on the other side of the fence to see that the grass is not actually greener. And this is what the Lord does when he says, look at the descendants of Esau. Look at the Edomites who live outside of the blessings of God, and look at how bad it is to be in their camp, and reflect on how wonderful it is to be under the grace of God. David says in Psalm 84, he talks about how he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of his God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Paul in Ephesians 2, verse 12, he reminds the church in Ephesus of these words, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Remember then, you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And so Paul, Malachi here, is pointing to the idea that if we reflect on what it is to be outside of God, it will help us to stir up thankfulness and gratitude towards the Lord. And so as the church, we might consider how miserable it is to be outside of Christ. And I pray that we might live with an awareness of our blessedness. For we, the church, are the particular and choice object of God's love in Jesus Christ. I pray that we might make room in our hearts for thanksgiving and gratitude that those in Malachi's day forgot to give to God. Look now in verse 6 as he continues to address the problems that are at play. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, you despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? It is rather alarming to see that the priests, who are supposed to know the will of God, have turned aside. They have disobeyed themselves, and consequently they have led the people into disobedience. Once again, we see that the transgressors are completely unaware of their sins. This should remind us that we cannot cast any light upon our own path other than that which is revealed from God's word. And so in verse 7, the Lord answers this question that the priests have, how have we polluted you? How have we sinned against you? The Lord responds by saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious to you. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? And so what we see here is the priests have taken it upon themselves to make religion easy. They tell the people, it's all right if you offer blind animals to the Lord. He will receive these, sure enough. It's okay if you offer lame and sick animals to the Lord. He doesn't have a problem with that. It is a religion that costs nothing. Later in the book, the Lord speaks to this as robbing him. And this is something which he takes very seriously. And the immoral priests are the ones who are saying, it's okay and God is pleased with you. There is a twisting of truth that is taking place, and God's will is perverted. In chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord says the following. He says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, 'How have we wearied him?' By saying, 'Everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them.'" And so the priests are saying that this half-hearted sacrifice, this dishonoring and this robbing of God is okay, and God is pleased with you regardless of what you bring to him. If this is not a description of our hyper-grace churches in America, I don't know what is. Many churches teach that if you simply pray a prayer, or you've gone through some religious rite, or you've been baptized, you're good to go. That's all that you need. You better not dare suggest that the Lord requires some kind of offering from us. These ministers are experts both in omitting and explaining away any passage that suggests walking in the footsteps of Jesus, or that the Lord requires anything of us that is costly. This, according to Malachi, is false religion. Biblical and heart religion is that which offers to God. The priests of Malachi's day, who have made religion easy, the Lord responds to them in these words in verse 10. "Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand." And so the Lord makes it very clear. And this is the same sense which Jesus gives in Revelation as he's appealing to his beloved church to turn back to their first love. Jesus says to them in Revelation 2:5, "If you're not going to repent," he says, "I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." And so the Lord is very clear that it would be better not to assemble in his name. It would be better not to bring offerings to him of worship if we're not to do it in a way that honors the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's interesting if you consider the current state in which we find ourselves. Never before in the 245-year history of this country have we seen the closing of the doors of the churches in our nation. And in light of what we read here in Malachi, I think it's very safe to assume that for many of these closures, the Lord is in fact pleased. It's something that he's happy that these lukewarm, half-hearted churches are closing, because the great King of Kings, he delights for wholehearted, on-fire worship. And so the response in verse 11, the Lord declares, "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, 'What a weariness this is,' and you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations." And so the Lord speaks to this people, and he points out that they have grown weary, serving the Lord. They have grown weary of doing good. And this is something that we need to be careful of. And he reaffirms that he is a great king and he will be honored. He goes on in chapter 2 to speak further about those who rob God, to speak further about these priests who are twisting his word and encouraging this type of false religion. And he describes the curses that will come upon them. It is the description of those that are outside of the favor and the grace of God. And this is something that is just as true and real as the blessings which continue into the new covenant. So too, it is a terrible thing to be outside of the grace of God. As we look further at the problems of Malachi's day, we see in the second chapter, in chapter 2, verse 11, we see that the people have committed adultery spiritually. Verse 11, "For Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god." And as we continue, not only have they committed adultery spiritually, but they have committed adultery, forsaking the wife of their youth as well, in verse 14. And so, what is the Lord's answer? What is the solution for the hopeless state of his people? Have God's purposes failed? He has saved a people and showered them with mercy only for them to turn to foreign gods. They are ungrateful. They do not honor him, but they rob him. This is the priests doing, for they twist the words of God. They have committed adultery spiritually and physically against the wife of their youth. It is into this darkness, it is into this dismal, broken situation that the Lord speaks these words in Malachi 3:1. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as the former years." Christ is going to come suddenly into his temple, and he is going to cleanse his people through the word of God. He is going to come down. God himself is going to come down and shepherd his people. He is going to proclaim the word of God, reveal the mind and heart of God in a way that these wicked priests could not reveal him. Christ is coming to offer his own perfect body as the one offering in order that we might have righteousness in his name. For he is the one and only who is capable of properly honoring his Father. But he is also coming as a refining fire to remove the wicked inclinations of our hearts, just as fire purifies gold. Salvation that does not transform the heart is no salvation at all. And so think with me. If I were to take unrefined gold and I were to give this to a goldsmith and I were to say that this is, in fact, refined gold, what would he say? He would clearly say that this is not refined gold. In the same way, as we look at these new covenant promises. Jesus has come to give the solution for the malady, for the sins, for the hard-heartedness that we read about in Malachi, the robbing of God. Jesus has come to purify a people that we might honor him from our hearts. And so he comes in order that we might become a new creation, that he might give us a new heart, that he might give us new affections. I love the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed." That's the fuller's soap. That's what God has come to do through baptism. He wants to wash our sins away. You were sanctified. That is the refining fire of Christ. He has purified us. He has removed the dross and the impurities of these sins that we're reading, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. The Almighty God has acted upon you to do what you could not do for yourselves. And the evidence is a changed life, a purity, a holiness, a pure gold. There are a lot of people running around today that get, quote, saved. But I want you to consider this. What has God saved you from? Has he saved you from greed? Has he saved you from theft, from robbing God and robbing your fellow brother? How about adultery? Has he saved you from lust? How about pride? How about lying? How about manipulation? Those who enter this refining fire of the Lord and have been scourged by his purifying fire, while they may go in with a wandering heart, while they may go in with impurities, while they may suffer from confusion, like we're reading about this morning, from blindness or darkness of soul. However, once they have come out, they see clearly the magnificence of the Creator, and they are awestruck by his glory. They see that he is, in fact, a great king, and they will honor him with their bodies. Do you struggle with besetting sin? Do you have coldness of heart? Is something blocking your vision of Christ seated upon the throne like these people in Malachi's day? Does your desire for the temporal eat out your desire for the eternal? Is Christ's second coming before your soul? I struggle with the concept of the New Testament Christian that robs God. You see here that this is an old covenant problem. This is something that the text clearly makes plain that Jesus is going to fix when he comes. And so if we have entered these fires and we have passed through the purifying heat of Jesus Christ, we can know this, that Christ is fully capable of cleansing us of all of these past sins. And maybe this morning you're under the impression that you're too sinful. Maybe you think that you've got too many impurities. However, the very concept of refinement implies starting with something that is corrupt. The very concept of cleaning something with soap implies that you're going to start with something that is dirty. In fact, this is why Christ has come. Luke 5:32, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And if you are sick, and if you have impurities, and if you struggle how sweet this word is to you. Jesus says in verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. For those who have impurities, who are in despair, for those who struggle with the same sins listed in Malachi, this is a precious and healing word. I want you to consider this fact. The consuming fire of the Lord has never met its equal. The heat and consuming nature of this holy fire is greater than any impurity, any sin that we might have. And so the question that we have is, are we willing to enter these refining fires? Are we willing to allow this almighty, powerful Savior to wash us and make us white as snow? Are you willing to allow your love for self to be consumed by this heavenly fire? The problem with Christianity is not in heaven. God has sent a Savior. He has sent Jesus Christ, who can completely save. The greater part of our problem stems from the fact that people do not want to have their idols burned up. Americans like their lives the way that they are. The Lord wants to totally transform and fashion our lives according to heaven's values. For many, this is too steep of a price to pay. Oh, that God would deliver us from this. But to the precious saints of God, it is a small thing to give up the world that we might have Christ, our sweet Savior. And by way of encouragement, Malachi 3:10, we read these words, that if we are to honor God, this is the promise that we have. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. And so, what a marvelous test this is. The Lord is saying, if you will honor me as a great king, if you will give me the offering that I command, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and shower you with grace upon grace and provide for every single one of your needs. So in the new covenant, we do not offer animals. We don't offer sacrifices in the same way. And we're not even commanded to offer a specific amount of money, such as a tithe in the Old Covenant. But I think we get a true sense of the commands that God has for us in Romans 12. This is Paul's appeal. In light of the mercies of God, in light and in view of everything that Jesus has done to save us, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so the Lord has it out for our whole self. The Lord wants our bodies. He wants us to follow in his footsteps as living sacrifices. And if we do this, what blessing and what reward will God pour into our laps, running over Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. I want you to consider that if Christ provided for the Israelites those 40 years as they were wandering in a barren wasteland where there was absolutely no provision, if he could provide for that congregation, how much more is he going to provide for his beloved church, both now and eternally, with treasure in heaven and every provision that we need? His one request is that we might honor him, that we might treat him as a great king, that we might allow ourselves to be purified from love of self and from ungratefulness and all of these sins that we've read about this morning. What joy it is to put the Lord to the test, and how happy are these people who have discovered the Lord's faithfulness, those who have despised the counsel of the wicked, those who don't listen to these immoral priests who say, you don't have to offer anything from God. That is a lie out of the pits of hell, for the Word of God tells us that we are to take up our cross. We are to offer everything to this great King and follow him with our whole hearts and our whole beings. And how happy it is for those who honor the King of Kings, for he bestows honor upon us, and surely his promise is true. He will open the floodgates of heaven and give us everything that our hearts so desire. I hope this morning the Word of God is clear that Christ is a great King and that he deserves honor. He deserves to have our bodies. He deserves to have a right to use our personalities, and when we do not honor him, we are robbing from God. And I hope that you will not deny him the right to use you. I hope that you will submit yourself to Christ and allow him to purify you. What an indescribable promise this is. How incredible it is that the Savior of the world is going to come suddenly into his temple as a refining fire, and he is the solution for every single one of our problems. And this is my desire this year. This is my appeal and my plea for the people of God in a very difficult time of uncertainty. That we would be willing, that we would not sell ourselves short, but we would joyfully submit to Christ and open ourselves up and allow him to wash us, allow him to refine us as one might refine gold. And there is no shortage of his power. There is no shortage of his strength and his grace to make us holy and to give us a steadfast heart that serves him with everything that we have. And I hope that this is your desire. This is my desire this year. This morning, if you are outside of Christ, the Bible commands upon hearing the gospel that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, and he did this on our behalf, that we are to believe this, and we are to respond in repentance, turning away from sinfulness and turning towards his word and following him. We are to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, whereby the Lord washes our sins away, and we die, and we are buried, and we rise again to newness of life. We receive the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we walk in that power all the days of our life. Maybe this morning you feel as though you've wandered and you have not honored the Lord as he deserves to be honored. Maybe you want to pray for restoration this morning. If you have any of these desires, I pray that you would come forward this morning as we stand and sing our invitational song.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save.
He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Thank you.
beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. For the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.